Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
South Africa ends the week with questions over immigration, technology, the Middle East, and the global AI race. Good morning. This is BizNews Daybreak. I'm Asim Enyite. Coming up, the latest world news from Bloomberg. Solim Weng on the unintended consequences of foreigners leaving South Africa. Elon Musk on the scale of SpaceX and Starlink. The latest confusion over a possible Hormuz deal. And Alphabet under pressure as Google loses AI talent to its rivals. We begin with the global picture. First up, Bloomberg News Now brings us the latest overnight world news.
Iran will seek to bar U.S. and Israeli ships from the Strait of Hormuz and require compensation from hostile countries before they're allowed to use it. Iran's Fars News Agency has released details of the deal between Iran and Oman on passage through the strait. The deal reportedly says U.S. and Israeli vessels and any related cargo, military or civilian, would be prohibited. Meantime, both U.S. and Iranian officials have been signaling in recent days that some kind of accord on Hormuz is close. President Trump spoke to reporters about the strait.
It's sort of open right now. You know, we have a thing called the blockade headed up by the U.S. Navy, and we control it. And now we control it, but they can always shoot something. They always have something or drop a mine. And if you have one mine sitting out there, you sort of mess things up because people don't want to take their billion-dollar boats and accidentally get hit by a mine.
That's President Trump. Separately, Fars said that Iranian naval forces had struck, quote, hostile targets at the entrance to the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices climbed and stocks fell on Thursday's developments. A new device from OpenAI will have a unique look with moving parts in a donut shape. Here's Bloomberg's Mark Gurman.
Well, it's the same concept as a smart speaker, right? Okay. The only difference is that this smart speaker is battery powered and you can take it around your home with you. So it's essentially a mobile device for within the home and task automation and productivity. We'll see if consumers are willing to eat it up, but definitely there are privacy concerns with having something that is, you know, to an extent, has a camera, always listening, has lights, speakers, microphones, etc.
That's Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. OpenAI plans to release the device in 2027. President Trump has been speaking by phone with Kevin Warsh since he's become Fed chair. Sources tell Bloomberg News that two have talked multiple times since Warsh was confirmed in May. One source says the president has asked about forecasts and opinions, but has not pushed for a specific course of action. It's not clear if they've discussed monetary policy. Meantime, the Financial Times reports Fed chair Kevin Warsh plans to stick to his stripped-back communication style with the public, but is ready to raise interest rates in September if inflation comes in hot in coming weeks. Warsh's scant details on tackling inflation sparked a Treasury sell-off after last month's meeting. More from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
One of the things that's happened is that people on Wall Street have misunderstood a little bit of what Warsh is talking about. He wants to get rid of the forward guidance, such as we will keep this rate unchanged until we get to X date or X condition in the economy, versus if inflation continues to rise, we will have to consider what we're going to do, which is the reaction function. And those two things have gotten confused with people on Wall Street.
Back home, political commentator Solim Weng says South Africa needs a more honest conversation about immigration. He says illegal immigration must be dealt with, but warns that chasing foreigners out of the country does not automatically solve unemployment.
Solly, let us talk about the unintended consequences that have emerged from foreigners being chased out of the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting. It seems like there are two camps now. There are people who are saying, aha, we told you the foreigners were not the problem. And other people are saying, maybe we overreacted here, because suddenly people who employed foreigners as gardeners, as delivery guys on motorcycles, who had them as tenants in their little apartments or homes and stuff, suddenly these people have left. Up about 67,000 people, I think, were signed out of the country. Now the gap they left behind is being filled. Look, the balance is still in the middle. The question of uncontrolled illegal immigration is a serious one that must be sorted out. But at the same time, no country in the world, and I've lived in four different countries, more recently Switzerland, no country develops without the hand of foreigners. Even America, I mean, all countries, they have foreigners, they must come in legally into the country. Those who are here, we must find a way, and who are playing, who are legal, who are doing the right thing, acting within the law, there must be a way to regularize them, okay? But those who are not here legally, we cannot simply just look the other. I don't think any country should simply look away and not know who's in there. But we must stop thinking that we can grow this country without the contribution by skills and when tax money, we legally collected tax money from people who are coming from other countries of the world, irrespective of whether it's Africa, Asia, Europe, South Australia, etc.
And many people who had hoped to get jobs once the foreigners left ended up in long queues and disappointed.
Yeah, no, look, I think, look, it's very naive for South Africans to think when so-and-so leaves, that job will come to me, you know. I know a good number of people, especially in the hospitality industry, who have reasons that even I struggle to argue against about why they prefer, say, Zimbabweans or Malawians, you know. I think we South Africans need to look into the mirror and ask ourselves, do we want to drive scooters? Do we want to work, to do a lot of the work that is done by foreigners that South Africans don't do? It happens all over the place. There are all over the world. There are jobs that locals just don't like to do. Okay? And it's okay for foreigners to do those jobs as long as they're legal. So they're not, we should be not expecting that suddenly the level of unemployment of South Africans is going to suddenly drop because foreigners have left, because that is not the case.
Next, to technology and South Africa's continuing Starlink debate. Elon Musk says SpaceX is already far ahead of its competitors in launch capacity, while Starlink could become a much bigger force in global internet access. For South Africa, the question remains why the service is still being kept at arm's length.
So, right now, we deliver, call it roughly 2,500 tons a year to orbit via Falcon. And this is a big number by normal standards. The rest of the world, I think, delivers around 300 tons. So we deliver, you know, 80 to 90% of total Earth mass to orbit per year with Falcon. Now, with Starship, our aspirations, and I think we will achieve these aspirations, are to deliver well over 1 million tons to orbit per year, and probably ultimately 10 million tons per year. So this is not like if you had a chart where you plotted things, you would need a very, very big table to put the chart on to see, see any of our competitors on that chart and to make that. So our next biggest competitor was one pixel high on the bar chart. You would still need a very big bar chart to represent the SpaceX Starship vehicle. And it's worth noting that we actually, you know, encourage our competitors to copy us. We do nothing to slow them down. We actually launch competing satellite constellations at the fair prices, the same price we charge everyone. So we do encourage our competitors to copy us, but it's quite difficult to copy something like Starship. But we don't use patents as a sort of a landmine exercise to stop people from copying us. We actively encourage it. So, anyways, but when you think about it on that, so, you know, we go from 2,500 tons a year to, you know, 1 million, potentially 10 million tons per year. It's really a ridiculously profound difference. But that is our plan, and I think we will achieve that plan. Regarding Starlink, it's also worth just noting that the Starlink V3 satellite is about an order of magnitude more capable than the Starlink V2 satellite, which was already a very capable satellite. And we expect to launch about an order of magnitude more Starlink V3 satellites. So that would mean a roughly two order of magnitude increase in the delivered bandwidth. Even if our monetization per bit dropped by a factor of 10, that would still mean a 10x increase in the revenue of Starlink. So I think people are really underestimating Starlink here.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
To the Middle East now. A possible deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz is reportedly in its final stages, but there's still confusion over who is actually part of the agreement. Washington sees it as a step forward toward wider talks with Iran. Tehran says the United States is not even involved.
Well, it's all very mystifying. You recall that 48 hours ago, you and I were discussing this very same issue, and then it seemed imminent. It seemed imminent yesterday. It still seems imminent. That's at least to judge by what was said by the deputy Israeli, Iranian foreign minister, about the agreement being there in principle. The essential problem appears to be a basic disagreement over the parties involved in the negotiation. The president of the United States, Trump, saying this is essentially a bilateral deal between enemies that could lead to further deals unwinding this war. That's what his administration says. The Iranians say the Americans aren't even involved, that this is a bilateral deal between Iran and Oman. That's Iran's neighbor just across the water. So when you have those basic elements in disagreement, it's really hard to see how a satisfactory final deal can be achieved. I think, though, the moment there is a free flow of traffic, albeit controlled by those two countries, potentially giving the Iranians a degree of control they never had before the war, and even service charges, what they're calling service charges, but would effectively come down to some kind of toll, a tribute, money going into the Iranian coffers. The Americans could hold that out as a resumption of free traffic. Potentially that would be enough for President Trump to say that the Hormuz has reopened and for the Americans to review their own position in the Gulf and their position in this war.
So do we believe that the U.S. at some point may become a party to this deal? Because, again, it just feels like nothing can happen unless it's Iran and the U.S. agreeing here. I mean, Oman can play a part in facilitating negotiations. But at the end of the day, it feels like it's got to be Iran and the U.S. agreeing to something.
Yeah, the principal players.
Yeah.
One imagines when we had the previous MOU, previous ceasefires, declarations Hormuz would be reopened, there was actually a fairly slow trickle of shipping in there. The shipping industry is very, very risk averse. It's heavily insurance driven. And even at the time, there were reports of U.S. Warships escorting ships and the like, civilian vessels, cargo vessels, making their way across that waterway. I would also imagine that a deal freeing up the Hormuz would require a satisfactory demining of Hormuz. That would potentially require the involvement of European, perhaps even American ships in the future.
And finally, to big tech. Alphabet is raising billions through a new bond deal, but the bigger concern is Google's position in the AI race. Bloomberg Intelligence says Google is losing key talent, while OpenAI and Anthropic are increasingly becoming magnets for top model builders.
These are a couple of high-profile departures after, recently, I believe it was 4 weeks back, there were a couple of other names that had departed. One went to OpenAI. So the fact that Google is losing talent, I mean, these are people who have been there for very long. It's definitely not a good sign, if you ask me. And plus, their model release has been delayed. So the Gemini 3.5 version model, Pro 1, has been delayed. And from what we have gathered, the Gemini 4 is most likely going to get delayed. So this is a race about the models. And if you are not releasing a frontier model, and Anthropic and OpenAI keep creating all the news about how their models can hack, any system out there, that's definitely feels like, Google is missing at least the model lead right now. And it could change, but to my mind, this is not a positive. And I think the stock reflected that sentiment.
So we hear that they're going to really centralize their leadership to California. That kind of is the seat of everything, even though we know that, is it Larry Page or Sari Brin who's been moving to outside of California?
Florida? Or I don't know.
Nevada.
Nevada.
Yeah,
okay. He
went to
Incline
Reno.
Village.
Yeah, yeah,
Incline
exactly.
Village.
Incline Village, which is basically California, but just across the border. What does that say about California as the center of tech talent and how whatever efforts you want to make to try to decentralize that, to spread it out to other places, maybe lower cost places, it's kind of a fool's errand, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, right now it feels like Anthropic and OpenAI are getting the big names when it comes to, you know, the folks who are actually training these models and, you know, the scaling laws that are driving all the development. So from that perspective, I mean, Google is still a pretty large firm and they've got, you know, folks all over. But there was a time when Google and Meta used to be the magnet for the top talent. It feels like right now it's Anthropic and OpenAI.
And that's Business Daybreak. I'm Asim Anyita. Thanks for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. We'll keep track of what matters and leave the noise to everyone else.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.